I'm glad to be here this morning, our spring fellowship time, to look out, to see all of your faces. And even as I look out, I have to just plead with the Lord that the Lord will save all of you that's not saved. I was telling you, you know, that we ought to sing that song, Meet Me There. I'm going to make sure we have it next fellowship time. The Lord delay his coming till then. And that'll be what I plead with you. Meet me there. I don't want to go up into heaven and then have to look back and think, oh, so-and-so didn't make it. They won't be here. They won't be joining us. They won't be here in this time of joy and bliss, eternal joy and bliss. Where will you be? It's a sad thought, but it's a fact. Now, I come this morning, I want to speak to you. I've titled the message, Rejecting Christ. Every person in hell has rejected Christ. Every one of them. And I ask you, will you reject Christ also? Will you turn him down? The great offer of salvation that he makes to you, that he holds out to you. You look at the world today, the attitude of the world, the way people act, the things they do, and it's plain to see. Just it's that scripture that says, I will not have this man to reign over me. The world today, as a whole, has rejected Christ. And that means, let me put it plain and simple to you, that means that the world as a whole today is headed to hell. Now that's plain and simple. I don't want you to misunderstand. Now I want to just give you a brief description. When we talk about rejecting Christ, let me give you a brief description of what it means to accept Christ. And I don't want you to think about accepting Christ as the world thinks. But I'm talking about accepting Christ as opposed to rejecting Christ. Today, the world's idea of salvation is just accept Jesus into your heart. Accept Jesus, you're saved. Say this little prayer, you're saved. Well, I'm afraid for the world. Because if that's what you're holding on to for salvation, I'm afraid for you. I don't want to judge anybody. But the Bible tells us what it means to be saved. Now, let me give you just a brief description. To be saved, it means that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's awakened you. He's shown you that you're a sinner. He's given you grace to seek the Lord with your whole heart. He's broken your will. He's made you willing to submit yourself to Christ, that Christ may do with you as he sees fit, whether it be to save you or to condemn you to hell. And you're going to have to come to terms with all of it before the Lord saves you. Now, that's a very brief description of salvation and what it means to be saved. Anything that comes short of salvation, coming to Christ, anything short of salvation is to reject Christ. It's to reject Christ. It is to be found in rebellion against God and doomed for judgment in hell. My friends, you are either saved by grace or you are in rebellion against God and His Christ. Now, there ain't no other way to say it. That's plain. That's simple. You can understand it. If you're not saved, you're in rebellion against God. Now, there are many who refuse Christ and His salvation. Many who do it openly, intentionally. Many, I believe, don't realize just what it is they're doing. And I believe we have many here today that fall into that category. You don't realize what it is you're doing. And I wish that I could make you to see and understand what's happening. I can't do it. I can't. That's the power of God. The Holy Spirit has to come and awaken you and teach you that. I can't do it. Only the Lord can do it. But I want to read there in the 19th chapter of Luke, starting with the 12th verse. And this is Christ speaking. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.'" He had 10 servants. He gave them 1 pound each, told them to occupy, work, carry on, do the business. While I'm gone, I'm coming back. And that's the same thing that Christ has told us. He's coming back. He's given us a charter, a command, instructions, told us what to do, and He's coming back. But look at that 14th verse. "But His citizens hated Him and sent a message after Him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" Is that you? Is it? In that 12th verse it says, "A certain nobleman." This was not their king. He was a nobleman, perhaps a well-to-do person that lived there. But it says he went to the far country to receive a kingdom, to be made a king. But the people where he was living, the people around him, hated him. They sent ambassadors to the far country where he was going, where he was to receive the kingdom, where he was to be made king, and tried to stop him from being made king. Whenever you reject Christ, you don't understand what you're doing. You don't understand it. You don't understand the consequences of your actions, how they are going against God, and you don't understand the consequences or the repercussions of how they're going to come back on you. But they sent the Bible says a message. They sent an ambassador to stop him. They didn't want him, but they were unsuccessful. Because in that 15th verse, it says, "It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom," he received the kingdom. Those that hated him didn't stop him. Those that rejected him and refused him didn't stop him. He came back having received the kingdom. This is all history. Christ has not yet returned, but you look around, it's not going to be long. I like to think that he's en route right now. He's en route. He'll be here soon. Look for him. Be ready for him. But all that man has done to oppose Christ, all that Satan has done, has had no effect. No effect. It hasn't done anything. Christ was received by the Father. He makes intercession for us even now. And he's coming back. He's made and offered himself as a sacrifice for sinners. And no one was able to stop him. No one could stop him. Did you ever think about that? Satan didn't want Christ to go to the cross. He didn't want him to be made a sacrifice. He tried and tried to kill Christ before he came to that time and that place. But he couldn't do it. He finished his work here on earth. He went to the Father to receive his kingdom. He's coming back as a ruling king. And the Bible says, every knee shall bow. He went away a nobleman, and he'll return as king with all the authority of a king. And look there at that 27th verse. You listen, you think about it, you consider it. He came back as king, and he said in that 27th verse, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Will you be in that group when the Lord comes? When he comes as a sovereign king with all power. All power over all the earth. As sovereign king to do as he pleases. This parable shows how that Christ came here on earth, lived according to this as a nobleman, not as a king, not as a ruler or anybody who had great authority, but just another person on earth, went away that he might receive his kingdom, done his work here, that he receive a kingdom. And just like in this parable, Jesus Christ is going to return one day. I don't know when, but I believe soon. But one day he'll return as the rightful, the lawful, sovereign king, and he will destroy his enemies. He's not going to put up with them. He's not going to allow them to continue, maybe off to the side, or as a like an underground rebellion or something that he can't get hold to. He's going to destroy them. You can't get away from the Lord. You might like to think you can, but he'll destroy his enemies, and that's all who refuse to crown him king. All those who have rejected him, all who have in some way, some manner in your heart, you have said, I'll not have this man to reign over me. You have rejected Christ. Now, a lot of these people in this parable here, we see they were in open rebellion. Didn't care who knew. They refused to have Christ to rule over them. Didn't care who knew it. And I ask, what about you? You're not saved? What's your attitude? How do you feel? Maybe you say, well, I ain't quite like that. I wouldn't say I don't want him to be king, but you won't submit yourself. You won't obey the gospel. You won't do what the Lord commands you. You're so deceived by Satan that you don't realize what you're doing. You know, when I think of the deception of Satan, having been a deceived, lost sinner, I know where the Lord brought me from. I know. And I understand. I sat under this ministry for 40-something years and heard this same gospel preached to me, and it didn't mean a thing. I couldn't understand it. It never went home to my heart. And I understand. I understand how blinded I was. I know how blind I was. And I know that even now, trying as best I can to describe the power of Satan and his deception over your heart, mind, and life, you can't understand it. But it is just as real as myself standing here before you. Don't think it's a figure of speech. Don't think it's some poor comparison of some other thing. It's a solid fact. Satan has you deceived, and you don't know it. You don't know it. You don't understand it. And in your deception, without realizing it, you are saying, I won't have this man to reign over me. You have been told lies about the Lord's character, and you believe what you've heard. Satan lies in your ear, and he tells you, oh, well, it ain't like that. He ain't explaining it right to you. He's telling you some hard thing, and it just ain't so. And that is Satan whispering in your ear, influencing your thoughts, and you're happy and quick to believe it. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. And I'm going to tell you, if the Lord never wakes you, shakes you, brings you out of it, and causes you to see and to know what you are, you will die and go to hell. Now, there ain't no other way around it. You blindly believe what Satan and his emissaries are telling you. You don't check it. You don't study God's word to see if it's true. You blindly accept it. You listen to the false prophets, the false preachers, to the false thoughts that Satan puts in your own mind, and you believe it. You believe it. These false preachers, these false prophets, they think they're doing God's will, and they're just as blind as anybody else and don't know. They don't know. But they're not doing the Lord's will. The Bible says they're doing the will of their father, the devil. John 8:44. Doing the will of Satan. Ye are of your father, the devil. Can you understand that? Do you think that's some kind of allegory or some kind of comparison or is talking about something else? Do you? You think it means something else, but it doesn't. It's pretty plain. Your ignorance will not be excused on Judgment Day. It won't. You can reject Christ. You can continue on, and you can say, well, I've got good reason for what I think and for what I believe. But I'm going to tell you, there is no valid reason to reject Christ. None. And I want to remind you that when you reject Christ, you join in with that company of people who were brought before Christ to be slain. He said, those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. That's all those who reject Christ. Will you turn? Will you believe? Believe what I tell you? And here's what I tell you. Take your Bible and read it and study it and see if I'm lying to you. Christ is soon to return. You know, I heard it all my life. Lord's coming. Lord's coming. He ain't come yet. He ain't come. We all still here. The Lord was merciful and long-suffering to me. He put it off. He withheld. But will he do the same for you? Will you have the same opportunity of putting it off that I had? Will you? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't think you're going to have that same opportunity. You're not going to have the opportunity to wait and wait and wait and put it off and put it off. And then when you're old and gray, well, I think I'll seek the Lord now. I don't think you have that time. Maybe you do. And it would be just another example of the long suffering of God if you do. But I don't think you have it. I don't think so. Don't just blindly believe what you hear. To accept Christ is to be saved, and it's to do the will of God, is to believe, is to be saved, and it's to praise the Lord for salvation. Look at that nobleman. The whole story of it there. When the nobleman went away, he gave his servants money that they might use it in his work. And when he came back, we find he said he had 10 servants, but he doesn't speak of all 10. He only speaks of 3. And we find that 2 of those used the money. They used it. They bought, they sold, they invested, they profited from what he gave them. But one servant took the money, laid it up, hid it, put it away, didn't use it at all. And when the nobleman returned as a king, he came to take account of his servants and to see what they had done and how they had profited with what he gave them. And this unprofitable servant had no excuse for what he did with what the king had given him. He had no excuse. What about you? We find this servant was busy with doing something else, wasn't interested, didn't care, didn't mess with the king's money at all. And this is an example of human nature when we look at salvation. The natural man will not submit to the will of God. The natural man, the carnal mind, is enmity. And that leaves every lost sinner hating God, just like those who said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Is that what you're doing? The Lord has given you, all of you, you that are not saved, the Lord has given you the same gospel, the same opportunity to be saved. And what are you doing? What are you doing? You're laying it up, putting it aside. I ain't interested. I got this over here that's a lot more fun. I like doing this. I ain't worried about that. You have the same opportunity, the same gospel, the same Bible, the same life. The Lord may cut it short. You don't know how long you'll be here, but you're here now. And he says, come now. He said, today is the day, now is the time. Will you believe it? Will you? You're going to continue like the unprofitable servant? Are you? You don't believe? He didn't believe. He wasn't interested. He didn't want Christ. He was unconcerned. So he took what he knew he would be responsible for and hid it where it'd be safe. What about you? You taking your Bible home, you laying it up. You won't let nobody tear it up or treat it bad or any of that, but you ain't doing nothing with it. You won't read it. You won't study it. You consider yourself, I go to First Baptist Church. I believe they preach the truth. You hold to that. You think that's worth something. That ain't worth nothing. It ain't worth nothing. Think about all the people that have attended First Baptist Church of Algiers. Think about it. How many over the 60 or 70, 80 years, however long this ministry has been going, think about all those who have came here, sat here, heard the gospel, and went out, died, and went to hell. What did this gospel profit them? It didn't do anything except maybe make the fire of hell a little bit hotter because they heard the gospel and wouldn't act on it. That unprofitable servant put away his gift. He wouldn't use it. Like you, he should have acknowledged it, acted on it, believed it to the saving of his soul. But we see in this unprofitable servant, we see the total rejection of Christ and his salvation. I won't have this man to reign over me. Do you think when that man, when this nobleman left out, when he gave them the money and said, occupy till I come. You can look there and it says you knew I was, what kind of man I was and that I would require. You think that man didn't know? What is he thinking? Maybe he ain't coming back. Maybe he won't return. Maybe I won't have to worry about it in the end. But he knew. He knew a time was coming just like you know. Every one of you know a time is coming when you'll give account for this life. You're going to give an account just like he knew. And he put it off. And he put it off. Are you going to put it off until it's too late? Are you? Do you consider yourself a servant of the Lord? Do you? Or maybe you just blatantly say, no, I won't have this man to reign over me. There ain't no third group. It's one or the other. Are you taking what the Lord's given you and using it? Are you? You've all got the same opportunities, the same gospel, the same life, as it were, before you. You know what's expected of you. You know a time is coming where you'll give account. It's coming. It'll happen. Have you considered it? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue on? Hoping and hoping and hoping that, well, maybe it won't happen. It's going to happen. I look around at my life, me, what I do, and I think about Christ coming. And I look at how I act, the things I do, and I see in myself such unbelief. But I know the Lord's coming. I wish I could show it more than what I do. He's coming. Our time is running out. We're not going to be here long. We've all heard the gospel. We've all heard it. But how many are going to act on it? How many are going to turn it down, reject it, go out, and say, I won't have this man to reign over me? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I plead with you. Think about it. Think about it. Consider. Don't leave out. Forget you was ever here. Forget everything you've heard. Go out. Busy yourself with something else. Occupy your mind so that you don't think about it. You're going to give account. And you don't know when. Maybe it'll be a long time. But it might be today. It might be today. You don't know. You have no promise for tomorrow. No promise. You have time now. Now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on Him. Beg Him. Plead with Him. I know we speak of the sovereignty of God, the election of God. And it's easy to say, well, I don't know. I just don't think I'm elected. I don't know what to do. I don't see where I can do. I'm just not going to worry about it. But I'm going to tell you, I was there. I was there. I don't believe. I don't think I'm elected. I guess I'll just burn in hell. But I want to tell you, if you want to be saved, if you're concerned about your soul, you beg the Lord. You beg Him, and you don't stop until He saves you. You beg the Lord. Beg Him. Beg for your soul. The Lord will save you. He'll save you. Don't think He won't. Don't think salvation's not for you. Don't think you've sinned away your day of grace. Christ came to save sinners. You call on Him. You plead with Him. You get honest with Him. You reason with Him. He'll save you. He will save you. Our dear Father, I do thank You for this time. I thank You for Thy word. Thank You, Lord, that You are still saving sinners. And Lord, we just look to Thee. I look to Thee. Lord, I call on You. I plead with You for these here. Lord, have mercy. Turn hearts. Send Thy Spirit among us, Lord, to awaken, to convince of sin. Lord, to give grace and to give faith. Lord, that our people might be saved before it's too late. Oh, Lord, help us. Have mercy on us. Guide us. Keep us now through this time. And may Thy will be done among us. And I ask all this in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.